So we began Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we had a discussion about Nazir. Let's just go over this discussion about Nazir, because I don't remember if we really had time to go into it. What?
No, we didn't.
We didn't. So we discussed Truma, and you remember that Truma was the exception to Rabbi Avo's rule that every Yisra Achila entails an Yisra Hanah. Truma is Mutar B'Hanah, and that's derived from the Pasuk Lochem. And that was a key breakthrough in the Gemara, because we're going to see this over and over again. We saw it once in the case of Arla. Now we see it again in the case of Truma. And the meaning of the word Lachem is that it's yours. It's yours to enjoy. Even though you're not allowed to eat it, for sure, Arla is also Bachila, but the word Lachem would indicate that Arla is Mutar B'Hanah. Again, we need the word Lachem at the end in Arla to tell you that even a tree that was planted in the public sector, as we said before, the Tzarech Rabim, is also included in Arla. And at the end of the day, Arla is in fact Asur B'Hanah. However, in the case of Truma, because the Torah says, Lachem, Trumaschem, it's yours, it means you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of it. Again, according to Chizkiah, who says that an Yisra Achila includes just an Yisra Achila, not an Yisra Hanah, we don't know why the Torah had to say Lachem. What was the Hava mean? Why would we even think or entertain the idea that Truma would be Asur B'Hanah? The Torah says, Kol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh. It doesn't say Lo Yei Achel, right? That's the exception to the rules when it says Lo Yei Achel. And the Gemara goes on to tell us that sometimes, from Chizkiah's perspective, the word Lachem in the plural is just addressing the entire community of Israel. So it's part of the Dibur HaKosev B'Loshon B'nei Adam, that the Torah speaks in a language that we can understand. So let's look now on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, and we're going to count down, let's say about, I'd say 10 lines from the bottom. The first word in the line is Trumaschem, and towards the end of the line it says Varei Nazir. Everybody have the place? No, not yet. Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, about 10 lines from the top. I'm sorry, I said the bottom. I meant to say 10 lines down from the top. I only said that just to make sure you were awake. That's all. Okay? So you see the first word in the line is Trumaschem? Okay, at the end of the line it says Varei Nazir. Okay. Now, in the case of Nazir, we know that a Nazir has three basic prohibitions. One is that he's not allowed to drink wine or any produce of the vineyard. Number two, he's not allowed to enter into a cemetery. No, he's also betumas mes. And there are very few exceptions to that rule. Maybe in the case of a mes mitzvah, he's allowed to be metame, but as a general rule, he's not allowed to be metame, even for the Zayin Krovim. And then we have the third isur, which is to cut his hair. He's not allowed to cut his hair. A regular Nazir, unless specified otherwise, is 30 days. Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. There's also something called a Nazir Olam, which means that he accepts upon himself Nazirus for the rest of his life. Or he can accept upon his Nazirus for any period of time. That then he'd have to specify. Now the question is, would a Nazir be allowed to enjoy the benefit of wine? Not to drink the wine, obviously, but can he sell the wine? Can he feed the wine to his animals or to his wife or his neighbors or any of those, his family members? So it's interesting that the Gemara is going to establish the answer to that question based on Erevin. Now let's go over a little bit about Erevin. We're talking about what's called an Erev Tchumen. And if you want to leave the outer limits of the city and walk 2,000 amah beyond the outer limits of the city, you're not allowed to do so because that's called an isur tchumen. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. The tchum is a radius around the city of 2,000 amah. And if you want to go beyond that, you're allowed to what's called leave an erev Tchumen. An Erev Tchumen means mazon shtei sudos, enough food to last for two meals. the food has to be royal achila, it has to be edible. And if a nazir were to use yayin as one of the two foodstuffs for an eruv, then he's benefiting from the yayin. And that would prove, if indeed, as we'll see, the Mishan Erevin establishes that there's an eruv even for a nazir with yayin, then it means that yayin for a nazir is mutar b'anoy. He's getting benefit from the yayin. And this is going to be a major kasha on Rabbi Avo, because Rachmana Omar, and I'll read the whole pasuk to you. The Gemara only quotes part of the pasuk. Kol yemei nizro mikol asher ye'ose migefen hayayin michartzanim v'adzog lo yochel. It shall not be eaten. Now it doesn't say lo ye'ochel. If it said lo ye'ochel, this would be a kash even on Chizkiah, because Chizkiah agrees that whenever it says lo ye'ochel, it includes even an iser hanah. But the pasuk doesn't say lo ye ochel. This is based on the Mesoras HaTorah. It says lo yochal. And lo yochal means thou shalt not eat. Well, according to Rabbi Avo, at least, when the Torah prohibits something in achilah, it also includes what? Hanah. And if that be the case, utnan, what are we going to do with a Mishnah in Mesechta Erevin? The Mishnah says, ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin. We're allowed to use the yayin as an eruv for the sake of a nazir, and a nazir is now going to benefit from the yayin in that he's allowed to go chutz l'tchum. He's allowed to go beyond the 2,000 amos based on this eruv, and that's called a benefit. Now here, Abosai, I just want to point out to you that there's a lot of literature here. There's a problem. And that's based on a principle. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. If you're not, I don't know if we should go into it or not. It's called mitzos lav lehenos nitnu, which means that we don't consider benefit from a mitzvah to be a benefit. When the Torah, or let's say I take upon myself a neder not to benefit from something, then that neder does not include mitzvah. So for example, there's something called mudar hanov michavera. I accept upon myself in a ned that I won't get any benefit from you. So you're not allowed to feed me. You can't even invite me into your house. Even to walk into your rishus might be a hanor. But on the other hand, you could blow shofar for me, let's say on Rosh Hashanah. Can you imagine if you're sitting in the audience and you're mudar hanor from the Baal Tokeya, and you can't get any benefit from it? So if he's blowing the shofar, l'chor, you're in deep trouble. I mean, you may get the mitzvah of shofar, I don't know, but you certainly would violate the iser of hanah from a neder. But the answer is no. Mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu. That which is done for the sake of a mitzvah is not considered hanah. Which means, and I think we've touched on this in the past, that iser hanah requires that you sort of reach out for the hanah. We're going to have a sugya later on in Psachim on Daf Chof Hey about Hanah Habali Adam Bal Karcho. In other words, you're walking by a bakery and they're burning, you're walking by an idol worship monastery and they're burning incense and you benefit from the incense. So the Gemara is going to discuss whether you walked in that direction or you didn't walk in that direction, you happened to pass by. And the basic yisod, the defining hanah, means I have to sort of grab out to the hanah. Now in the case of a mitzvah, I'm not grabbing out to the hanah. I mean, I may get benefit and I enjoy the mitzvah, but that's only a side benefit as a result of the mitzvah. What motivates me to do the mitzvah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to do the mitzvah. That's called mitzvah slav lehenos. Again, keep in mind that even though I get a side benefit from it, my motivation is because of the mitzvah. And therefore, I'm not considered to have reached out in an active way to get the hanah, to enjoy the benefit of it. So let's say, for example, if I have two roads diverge in the yellow wood, one road is going to take me towards the Avodah Zarah, and I'm going to be able to smell the incense. The other road is on the different direction. I deliberately choose that road in order to smell the incense. That's considered like I took the hanah. It's a maisa lekichas hanah. And for that I violate the Isra Hanah in the case of Avodah Zarah. It's a very severe Isra. Now if on the other hand, let's say one path is a lot closer than the other, it's a shorter way of getting to my destination, that's going to be the sugya later on Daf Chaf Hei. whether or not that's considered that I made a deliberate choice to go near the Avodah Zarah. No, it just happened to be because I was looking for the shortest way to get from one point to the other. Straight line. Now, in the case of Erevin, it's very interesting. Although Erevin is a mitzvah, and we make a brach on an Erev, but we're not motivated to create the Erev by the desire to fulfill the will of God, because God doesn't command me to make the Erev. Erevin is one of the unique mitzvahs, which is called a mitzvah shel reshus. What does that mean, a mitzvah shel reshus? It sounds like a contradiction in terms. So there's certain mitzvahs where the Torah says that the Torah creates a halachic framework, what's called a matir, to allow you to enjoy a certain pleasure, a certain benefit, but you need to go through that matir. For example, if you want to talk about shechita, I want to eat the meat, but I can't eat the meat unless I shech the animal. So it doesn't mean that I'm commanded to shech the animal, but it means that if I want to get the benefit, then the only way I can enjoy this meat is if I first shech it. So the Torah gives me a matir. Now, whenever the Torah gives me a matir, I make a bracha on the matir, because I'm saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need this pleasure. I want to get to enjoy the meat. But you, in your divine wisdom, commanded me that I can't do so. I'm enjoined from enjoying the meat unless I first implement this matir, which is shechita. So on that implementation of your will, God, I will thank you, because I get brownie points for that. I get schar, and I get rewarded for implementing the matir. The Rishonim have a real problem with why we don't make a brach on a get, on a divorce. Because when you divorce your wife, you're also employing a matir of sorts, right? For her, it's more of a matir than for him. But even for him, it might be a matir in the sense that we have what's called Hevder Ben Gerish, and he can't get married to another woman. But should I be making a brach on Gerishin? And the Rishonim come up with various answers to that question, that Gerishin is not necessarily a bracha, it's more klala, because the Mizbeach, Morid Alav Demos, you know, when he divorces his wife, and so we don't make a bracha on Gerishin. But as a general rule, whenever there's a matir, then we make a bracha. And the kiyum mitzvah is by implementing the matir. But if you ask me what motivates me, for example, in the case of Eruv, you know, I want to go visit my neighbor who's on the other side, you know, the nearby city, and I'm going to have to cross the boundary of the Alpayim Amah, that's called a hanah. And the Eruv itself, insofar as it's matir, the halicha chutz mitchum, is a hanah. So the nazir is now benefiting from the yayin. So how does Rabbi Avo justify the heter of benefiting of the nazir benefiting from the ayin? It says lo yochal. Now you could say lochem, but I tell you the truth, I doubt if you're going to find the word lochem in the parasha of nazir, because nazir is a very unique singular individual. So where's the lochem? But sometimes instead of the word lochem, you have the word lo in the singular. And if the Torah goes out of its way to say the word lo, that it's indicating that he, whoever would be enjoined from this Isur Achila, is allowed to benefit from it. Lo means he has ownership. And as I've mentioned to you a million and one times, ownership is defined fundamentally by the tashmishin, the enjoyment and the benefit I can get from something. If I have no way of benefiting from something, that's called Isur Yad. No, lav mamon. I don't own it. In the case of a nazir, if the Torah says he owns the ayin, the deeper meaning of that statement is that he's allowed to benefit from the ayin. And even though, based on the general universal principle of Isur Achila, nazir would be awesome hanor from yayin, but since the Torah went out of its way to say lo, then the Torah is being mat. But the strangest thing, Rabosai, and this is really paradoxical, the Torah doesn't say lo with regard to the yayin of a nazir, but rather to the seir of a nazir, the hair of a nazir. You know, the nazir towards the culmination of his nazirus, which might be 30 days, might be longer, he has to cut his hair. That's called tiglachas nazir. And the Torah commands him to take that seir and burn it. And in that parsha, Omar Mar Zutra, Shaini Hosim, Diomar Kra, it says, Kol Yemei Nizro, Shalo Yehei. So first, we have the word Nizro. And Nizro means that it's his. Rav Ashi Omar, we'll get back to Mirtz Hashem to Marzuch in a minute, but Rav Ashi Omar, Kadosh Yiyeh, the Nazir is sanctified, and Nazir Yiyeh, I'm sorry, Kadosh Yiyeh, Gadel Pera, Si'ar Rosho. He has to grow the Seyar. He has to grow the Seyar of his hair. Just trying to figure out what's going on over here. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you could figure out what's going on.
I certainly don't know.
You don't know. Are you interested? Just, maybe he's trying to say something. I don't know. So it says here the following. Kadosh Yeh, Gadel Pera Si'ar Rosho. This pasuk is telling us that on the one hand, Kadosh Yiyeh, the status, the halachic status of the Seyar, of the hair of a Nazir, is Kadosh, meaning Kadoshos, they are holy. And then it says, Gidulo Kadosh, but V'ein Dover Acher Kadosh. It's trying to tell you that the only Isur that has a Hanah element, an Isur Hanah element with regard to the Nazir, is only the Seyar. So I'll just read to you the general halachic formulation. And the Torah says, Kadosh Yiyeh. And you'll notice that the word Kadosh is without a Vav. That's called Chaser Vav. So it's as if it says Kodesh, and we derive from this that the Seyar of a Nazir is Aser Ba'anah. It has a status of like a Hegdesh kind of thing, which it means it's absolutely sanctified. You cannot enjoy any benefit from it. Just one second. I keep forgetting when I put this on. Oh, I'm in Shia now. Okay, it's just, yeah, just sorry. I'm just trying to, you know, because when I do the Skype, I forget to put it on silent. I apologize. So let's go back again. So what do we say? We said that the Seyar of a Nazir is Kadosh. But since the Torah says Kadosh and not Kodesh, we're going to derive the following conclusion. Ein dino kikodesh, rak seyarosov kadoshos. In other words, if the Torah wanted to say that the Nazir was Kadosh, it should have said Kadosh. Instead, it says Kodesh. So let's again emphasize the following. There's a difference between Kodesh and Kadosh. Kadosh describes the person, and it's an all-inclusive, all-encompassing description of the status of the Nazir, and that's called Kadosh. But here it says Kodesh. Why? Because since the Torah left out the Vav, then we read it as Kodesh, not Kadosh. And Kodesh means, in this context, that part of the Nazir, one element of the Nazir, is Kodesh, but not other elements. And that's telling me what's called a miut, that rak se'arosov kedoshos, only the Seyar of a Nazir is Kodesh, because that's what the Torah is discussing in that particular context. It says, Kadosh Yeh, Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. So Kadosh means it is Kodesh. And what's the it referring to? The Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. But Ein Dover Acher Kodosh. Then all the other Isurim, in this case Yayin, of a Nazir, are not Kodesh, which means that you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of. Now, what happens with the Seyar of a Nazir? Li'achar molos yimei nizirus, whenever he completes, he terminates his nizirus. Megaleach ha-nazir esa'ar rosho, he has to shave off the hair of his head. And the Torah says the following, in Parshas Noso, it says, V'lakach es-seyar rosh nizro, v'nasan al ha'esh, it's got to be burnt on the fire. And which fire is it? Asher tacha zevach hashlomim. Right, one of the main elements in Nazirus, when he terminates his nazirus, is called Shalmei Nazir. So on that very same fire, which is on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, where they burn the shlamim, not all the shlamim, because a lot of it is eaten, but the parts that has to be burnt, on that fire itself, they burn the Seir Rosho. Now, Hoel Vehu Kadosh, since the Seir itself is sanctified, therefore Zakuku Lios Nisrof, it has to be burnt in the same place where the Mavashim, the Shlomim. So you have what's called a Seir, I don't know how you say it in English, a pot, you know, a large cooking pot, a vessel. And in that vessel they put the Shlomim on top of the Eish Al Gabi Mizbeach, and underneath the Seir, underneath this big pot, they put the Seir of a Nazir after he cuts his Seir off. So it means that, just hashkafically, it means that the Seir of a Nazir is part of the process of sanctification. We'll try to understand that. And therefore that sanctified part is Aser Bano, and it has to be burnt. And this is another example of what I told you last week, that Isuri Ano have to be burnt. Like the paradigm of Isuri Ano is Nosar, and the Torah says Ba'esh Tisrofu. So in other words, the Gemara says that even though according to Rabbi Avo, the general principle that would apply to Nazir would be that Yayin for Nazir would be also Ba'ano, but here the Torah went ahead and specified that the Gadel Perasar Rosho, that's going to be Kadosh, but nothing else is going to be Kadosh. And the word Kadosh here in this context means Aser Ba'ano. So when the Torah is excluding Ein Dover Acher Kadosh, it's excluding the Yayin of a Nazir. Now the problem is that there's no extra word in this pasuk which would indicate that other than the Seir of a Nazir, anything, any other dimension of Nazirus is Mutar Ba'ano. That's what the Gemara is going to object to now. You know, normally when we have something called a miut, then there's some sort of an extra pasuk that could have been omitted, and since it's superfluous, the Torah is obviously coming to limit something. So the Gemara says, Midi v'ein dover acher ksiv. This pasuk is telling us the din of saros. It does. There's no extra words in the pasuk that would indicate saros only, and let's restrict it to the hair of the nazir, to the exclusion of the yayin of a nazir. And therefore, at this point, the Gemara backtracks and rejects Rav Ashi. We have to go back to the extra word nizro, because the Torah didn't have to say nizro as if it belongs to him. It could have said kol yimei nezer or kol yimei nizirus. What's nizro? And the nizro means he owns the yayin. Now it seems that the most essential element in nizirus is yayin. What do I mean? We said that there were three different dimensions of Isur in the case of a Nazir. Now, we have a principle in Halacha called Masnal Mashakosu Batorah Tno Batel. Are you familiar with that? What that means is, I cannot change the basic fabric of the law. For example, a man marries a woman and he says, well, I'm going to marry her on the condition that there's no mitzvah ona, you know, that he won't have a relationship in intimacy with his wife. So that t'nai is batel. He's going to be married to her with all the full obligations, because that's called masna mashkosu b'torah. You cannot take a t'nai and recreate a chalos, an entity, in a way that would contravene the way the Torah designs that entity. In the case of a nazir, let's say a person would say, I want to be a nazir, but on the condition that I'm allowed to drink wine. No, it's all, I'll accept upon myself that I'm not allowed to cut my hair, I'm not allowed to enter into a cemetery, but I want the deal is that I want to be able to drink wine. So such a nazirus is not chal. That's called masnal mashakosu b'torah. But let's say, for example, he would take upon himself a nazirus in which he would say that I'm not going to grow my hair long, or I'm not going to abstain or refrain from entering into a Beis HaKvaros. That's already going to be a more fundamental issue. So in any event, getting back to the word Nizro, since the word Nizro means Nezer, to abstain from wine drinking, that's the essence of his Nizirus, and the Torah says Nizro, referring to the Yayin. So Nizro means his Yayin. And why is it called his Yayin? Apparently because he can benefit from the Yayin. He's not allowed to drink it, but he can have Hanof. Next, Vahare Chadosh. So the Torah tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, no, it's a little later than Parshas Kedoshim. Where is it? In Emor. In Parshas Emor, correct. Parshas Emor, Shkoyach. The Torah tells me that the Omer has to be brought min HaChadosh, from the new Tevuah. And the Torah tells me I'm not allowed to cut down this year's crop until after the Omer is brought. And any Tevuah, any of the five species of grains that grows before the Omer is brought, is chadash. It's the new grain. And what does the Torah tell us about the new grain? Derachmana Omar. The Torah tells us in Parshas Emor, Lechem v'koli v'charmel lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. These are different forms of the produce of the grains, and I'm not allowed to eat it until this very day. And Chazal derived from this very day that it's the 16th of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach. That's the day on which they brought the Omer. And even if they don't bring the Omer, the day itself it makes the Chadosh into Yashan. Yashan is what we're allowed to eat. So you've seen on packages it says Yashan, right? Have you seen that? There's a company in America called Kemach. Have you seen, you know, they have biscuits and also, so that Kemach is always Yashan, by definition. That's the Hefshet. Here in Israel you have something called the Vadats. The Vadats will testify that anything here, you know, is anything that has the Heksha on it is Yashan. Now, the Torah says Lo Sochlu. Now, according to Rabbi Avo, whenever it says Lo Sochlu, it includes also an Iser Hanah. And now we're going to prove from a Mishnah in Menachos that you're allowed to benefit from Chadash. Chadash is only also Bachila, but it's Mutar Ba'anah. Again, this is not a problem to Chizkiah because it doesn't say lo ye achel, it says lo sochlu, which it limits it to an isa achila. Now, the Mishnah in Menachos that we're about to learn has two parts to it. Because the Isa Chodesh has two parts to it. The Omer has to be the first, it's barley of the new crop, the first of the new crop that's cut down. So you're not allowed to cut down from the new crop before the Omer is cut down. That's the mitzvah of Ktziras HaOmer. And Ktziras HaOmer, by the way, was done at night. The Havas HaOmer, the Akravas Minchas HaOmer, was done during the day. But it's all on the 16th of Nisan. And the Mishnah says, Kotzel L'Shachas. Now, Shachas means that it's less than one-third of its growth. Again, that's a complicated concept, but less than Shlish. And you're allowed to cut down for this year's new crop even before the Omer was cut down if you're cutting it down prematurely at the point at which only one third of its growth has been achieved. That's called Shachas. What do you do with Shachas? You feed it to your animal. Now, as far as Ktzir is concerned, and we said there's a violation because the first Ktzira has to be that of the Omer, and you're not allowed to cut down the grains before the Omer is cut down. Well, that's not a problem because Kotzel Shachas is not called a Ktzira. I'll give you an example. We have what's called Matnas Aniyim, Leket Shichon Peah. Now, when are you chayv in Leket Shichon Peah? After you cut down the first stalk, one stalk from your entire field. So that first Ktzira will generate a chiyuv of Leket Shichon Peah on the entire field. However, it's got to be a Ktzira. And Ktzira means it's already developed to a certain stage. If you cut it down prematurely as animal fodder, that does not constitute a Ktzira. For example, you know that there's a perek in Shas called Cheskas Habatin in Bava Basra, the third perek of Bava Basra. And that's about a person who for 3 years consecutively exploits the karka, he uses it, he plants, he grows, he harvests, and there was no mecha. The original owner did not register any sort of a protest. Since 3 years went by and he was quiet and he was silent, the original owner, that's called the marakama, the original owner, that proves that the person who has been working the field for 3 years is the true owner of the field. Now, if he had witnesses to testify to the sale, or if he had a shtar, a document, that would be fine. But in the absence of Edim or Shtar, then we go back to the Marakama. And the burden of proof is on the machzik, in this case of karka, on the one who's holding on to karka, to prove that he legally purchased the karka. But one of the ways he can prove that is through cheskas gimel shanan. But the Gemara says that he has to work the land in a normal way, the way a person would normally work the land. So let's say, for example, the Gemara wants to know, what if he was kotzel l'shachas? Instead of waiting for the grain to reach its full maturity, which is normally what you would do in order to harvest it and market and get your maximum. Instead, he cuts it down prematurely, that's called the shachas, for the purpose of feeding his animals. So the Gemara concludes that actually within a, let's say take a 6-year period of time, what you might do is, I guess it's called spacing or something along that line, he might use 1 year for maximum, to exploit the field to its maximum, which would mean that he waits until it's completely grown. But the next year, he cuts it down to shachas. Because by cutting it down to shachas, apparently he doesn't deploy, he doesn't deplete, that's the word I want to use, he doesn't deplete the minerals or the nutrients of the karka. So it's healthy for the karka. And not only that, he could use the shachas as animal fodder. So it's worth a fraction of its value, but it's worth something. So basically, you have to know what's called machziki ke machziki inshi. Means you have to do a chazok the way a normal person would do a chazok if he bought the land. You know, if he's doing something like fly by night, overnight, you know, he's cutting down the field, you know, prematurely, that's not a chazok. Obviously, something fishy over here. Now, in Zeroyim, whenever you need ktsira, the ktsira has to be after the grains reach a certain level of development, and shachas is premature. So it's good for animal fodder. The nafkamina here in our context is that he doesn't violate the isa ktsira before the omer of chadash. Why? Because this is not called a ktsira, this is kotzel shachas. But that part of the Mishnah is less relevant to us than the next part of the Mishnah. And that's umachil behema. Now it's very tricky here because you could easily misunderstand the Mishnah. This machil behema is a new paragraph. You have to press the return button. What I mean to say is that it's not that after you cut down the shachas, then you're allowed to feed your animal with the shachas. That would not be a chiddush. But rather, we're talking about fully developed grains, let's call it wheat, that has reached its full maturity, and the Mishnah says you're allowed to cut it down and feed it to your animal. Now this is real chadash because it's fully developed. It's what's called chitim gimuros, completely developed, and it's got the status of chadash. And yet you're allowed to feed it to your animal. He himself apparently is not allowed to eat it because it's chadash. And that we know for the pasuk lo sochlo ad etzem hayom hazeh. But yet, he's allowed to feed it to his animal. And this is a question, a contradiction to Rabbi Avo, because whenever it says lo sochlo, it includes even an iser hanor. Now let me just ask you a question. We said that there were two isurim in chadash. One is ktsira, and the other is achila. Hanor we're going to exclude, as we're going to derive it from a pasuk shalachem. But before we get to the exclusion, in these two Isurim, we split the Mishnah into two parts. In the Resha of the Mishnah, we said, Kotzel Shachas, that doesn't violate the Isa Ketzira. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, Machil Behema, we're talking about fully grown, Chitim Gemuros, and then what happened to the Isa Ketzira? Do you follow my question? How did he get to feed his animal Chadash without violating the Isa Ketzira? In the Resha, he didn't violate the Isa Ketzira because it was Kotzel Shachas. He cut it down prematurely. And that's not a violation of Ketzira. But in the Seifa, these were Chitim Gemuros, fully developed Chitim, and yet he's feeding his animal. How did he get them out of the ground? So that's called Ketifa. Ketifa. Kuf, Tet, Yud, Pei, He. Ketifa means that he rips it out of the ground. That's not the normal way you would do it. And therefore, you don't violate the Isa Ketzira. So now we have two heterim, two possible heterim, to get yourself something from the ground when it's all chadash and the omer has not been brought yet. Number one, you could be kotzel shachas, in which the ketzira took place before the maturity level of the wheat. And the second possibility is called ketifa, when he rips the, he plucks it out of the ground without doing ktsira. He doesn't take a sickle and cut it. Omar Rav Shmaya, Shani Hasam, why is Chadash different? And the Gemara says, the Omar Kra, the Torah says, I'm going to read the whole pasuk. It says, Vavesem, Es Omer, Reishis Ktsirchem. And look at the language Ktsirchem. It doesn't say Reishis Katsir, which means the beginning of the harvest, but rather it says Ktsirchem, and it's referring to the new crop that grew this year. Ktsirchem shalachem yehei. The extra word ktsirchem means it's yours to enjoy the benefit of it. V'idach, what's Chizkiah going to do with the extra word ktsirchem? After all, we know that according to Chizkiah, when the Torah prohibits achila, it doesn't include anos. I don't need the ktsirchem to be mater anos. And the answer is the Chol Yisrael mashma that divra Torah kolash b'nei yodim. The Torah speaks in a plural word in order to address all of Klal Yisrael. So let me read to you the Masifti as like an overview of the sugya of Chadash, and he says the following: Tvua shehishrisha liachar tetzayin b'nisan. Now this is very important. There's something called hashrosha. Hashrosha means that from the moment you put the seed in the ground, it takes 72 hours until the seed is, how would you say it in English, hashrosha? Rooted, excellent, until it's rooted. Now, it works like this. In order for something to be yoshan, it's got to be hashrosha li'achar tezayin b'nisan. So, watch what happens. Let's say, for example, he would plant it before tezayin b'nisan, but the hashrosha took place after tezayin b'nisan. So the question is that called chadash? And the answer is yes, that's called chadash because the hashrosha took place after tezayin b'nisan. He doesn't get away with it. You can't call it Yashan just because he planted it before Tezayin B'Nisan. The Ashrosh has to take place before Tezayin B'Nisan. If the Ashrosh took place after Tezayin B'Nisan, then it belongs to the new year. So that's his opening comment over here to give us an overview. He says, Tvua Sheshrisha Liachar Tezayin B'Nisan. So it's after the 16th of Nisan, it reached the state of Hashrosha, that becomes Chadash. And he says Chadash is Asur Bachila until next year on the same calendar date, the 16th of Nisan. Now I've been told, just on the side, that here in Israel there's no Chadash, meaning there's no locally grown Chadash. In America, for example, because you know you have that whole Middle America, you know, with all those wheat producing states, you know, Nebraska, Wyoming, I don't even know the names of the states there, you know, half of America are farming areas. And there they have two planting seasons. They actually have what's called spring wheat and they have winter wheat. Now, winter wheat by definition is Yashan. Why? Because it doesn't get to the market for many months after Pesach, probably not until October or November, whenever it is. But then the spring wheat. Now spring wheat is planted after Pesach. Again, it depends on each year when Pesach falls out. So this year there might be less, I mean next year there might be less of a problem of Yoshan because it's an Ivriya this year. But on a normal year, spring wheat will hit the market somewhere in the middle of the winter probably, but it was grown post-Pesach, which means it's real Chadash. Here in Israel, there's only one planting season. There's no spring wheat over here. Now, I don't know if that's going to change, you know, with all modern technology, but this is what I was told. So anything locally produced here in Israel is Yashan. But if you're getting imported stuff from America, then you're going to get Chadash around this time of year. We're in February. You know, this is like high season for Chadash. So that's the spring wheat. And spring wheat apparently is healthier than winter wheat. There's a push towards spring wheat. It's more expensive, and that's going to be that. Very often, that's going to be chadash. Now, what happens on the 16th of Nisan? Why is that the critical date, the transition from Chodesh to Yoshan? Shebo, on that day, Makrives Korban Omim, Yasiorim, Hachadoshim, Shalshana Zu. So they take the new barley from this year's crop and they bring it for the Korban Milchas HaOmer on the 16th of Nisan. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, then the transition period between Chodesh and Yoshan is going to be the 16th of Nisan, which is the day which is Roy to the Korban HaOmer. And the question is whether we have to wait till the end of the 16th of Nisan, until the morning of the 16th of Nisan, and so forth and so on. This is called Chodesh. Have you heard about Chodesh? You've heard about it. So for example, people who like to eat cereals, you know, Cheerios and the like, you know, that's where you have this issue of Chodesh. Okay, fine. What else did I want to share with you here? Right, he says Hemshech HaMishnah Machil Behema Eino Shaykh Ledina Kodim Shal Kotzel Shachas. So again, the Kotzel Shachas is trying to avoid the Isa Ktsira. And the end of the Mishnah of Machil Behema, that's talking about the Heter HaNov of Chodesh, even when it grew to full maturity. That we pointed out. Now, I was wondering the following. What I'm about to tell you is very speculative. The Brisker Rav, Zichron Levracha, used to say that the difference between Chometz in the fifth hour, which is only Nisar Achila, and Chometz in the sixth hour, which is an Nisar Hanah, is that Chometz in the fifth hour, he used to call it an Nisar Gavra, and Chometz in the sixth hour is an Nisar Cheftza. And I'm wondering to myself, if in all these sugyas that we've been learning until now, that despite the fact that according to Rabbi Vo, Achila includes Hano as well, but we found Shalachem, for example, in the case of Nazir, now we see Ktzirchem in the case of Chodosh, is it possible, in the light of the Brisker Rav, to say the following, that whenever there's a Heter Hano, what the Torah is telling you is that there's an Iser Gavra, not an Iser Chefta. Nazir would be a prime example. I have no qualms about it. I have no reservations. Yayin for Nazir is an Isa Gavra. What do I mean to say? There's nothing inherently usur about the Yayin. You know, it's not in the Cheft itself. And I'll prove it to you, because the same Yayin that's usur to a Nazir is mutter for you and I. Unless you became a Nazir. David, you didn't want to tell me, but okay. So you see clearly that's an Isa Gavra. Now, in the case of Chodesh, Chodesh is usur for everybody. But is it possible to say that Chodesh is an Isa Gavra? Now, why would I say that Chodesh is an Isa Gavra? Well, my motivation is because I want to justify why Chodesh is Mutaba No. But maybe you could go a step further. There are two types of Cheftzes di Sura. There's an Isa Olam and there's an Isa Lizman. In the case of Chodesh, it's an Isa Lizman because this very same Chefta will become Mutter on Tezayin B'Nisan, if it survives the year, a year from now. And if that be the case, how can you have an Isa which is only prohibited for a certain period of time? If Mimanashach, is there a Cheftzad Isur, is there not a Cheftzad Isur? Perhaps we could say that Chodesh is not a Cheftzad Isur. There's nothing inherently usur in Chodesh. And as a result, we could say that the whole nature of the Isur Chodesh is the Gavra. The Torah says, don't eat the Chodesh. Now, why is the Torah telling me not to eat the Chodesh if there's nothing inherently prohibited in the Chodesh? In the case of Nazir, I could say there's Kedushas Nazir. So he elevates himself as a Gavra to a higher level, and he should abstain from Yayin. That's his precious because of his Kedusha and his Gavra of a Nazir, his Kedusha of a Nazir. But in the case of Chodesh, if there's nothing inherently wrong with the Chodesh, and we're all equally us in the Chodesh, there's no person who's on a higher level of Kedusha. So what does it mean that it's an Isa Gavra? So I was thinking, there's a famous Sfas Emes who says that the Achilas Chodesh in a sense, is mevatel, it undermines the mitzvah of the Omer. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. He says, I want the first tvuah to be used on the Mizbeach. And the kiyum of Omer is that the first, you know, it's a little bit similar to what we call Bikurim. You know, the first fruit that I have on my tree should be brought to the Mizbeach. And here on a communal level, in terms of Klal Yisrael, the first enjoyment, in this case, of Achila, again, Achila here is a different concept, Achila's Mizbeach, but the first Achila should be on the Mizbeach from the new crop. And then we can go ahead and enjoy all the crop that grew in this year. So in a sense, there's nothing wrong with Achilas Chadosh per se. There's nothing inherent in the Achila that's wrong. But through the Achilas Chadosh, I undermine the mitzvah of Achilas Mizbeach, min Achadosh, in the Omer that's brought from the first barley of that crop. Now, if that be the case, is it possible to go a step further and suggest that chametz itself is an isagav, because chametz is only also 7 days out of the year. But on the other hand, chametz is also manah, so that would indicate that it's an isachevtza. Or perhaps we could say, and this is machlokas tanoim, which we'll get to in Mirz Hashem, that chametz ha'oval of ha'pesach is doraisa, meaning once the Torah prohibits chametz, that very chametz becomes also li'olam, and it becomes a chevtza disura. Again, we paskin that chametz shavu of Pesach is only derabbanan, but according to that Tana, at least I have at least a little bit of a peg to hang my hat. You know that maybe chametz, once it becomes osur, is osur liolam. It's not like chadosh where there's going to be a heter. Now we get to the major issue: chadosh, if it gets mixed up with yashan, is there bittul? And normally we have a loch of chad betray in the case of yavish biyavish. We have a loch of echad b'shishim in the case of lach biyavish or lach b'lach. So many of the poskim want to say that chadosh is a dorash yesh lo matirit. We have a rule that if something gets mixed up, some iser, and that iser itself will become mutter, like for example muktzah. If muktzah gets mixed up in a taroves, then you're allowed to apply the principle of bittul l'chora, but some say no. The Mishnah at the beginning, I mean the Brisa at the beginning of Beitza is quoted as saying that you cannot be mevatel muktzah. So maybe muktzah is a dorash yesh lo matir because tomorrow after Shabbos, after Yontif, it won't be us. What about Chadosh? The Chadosh l'chora would be a classical case of dorash yesh lo matir. If you wait until next year and the Omer is brought, it becomes mutter. But perhaps we could say the following, that it's not the pshat that it's a dorash yesh lo matir, that the chadash becomes mutter. The Torah says, don't eat the chadash before the Omer is brought. That would be an insult, so to speak. It would be undermining the kiyum of the Omer, that the Omer has to be the first karbon min ha'tvuah chadasha. So the whole Easter was, refrain from chadash before you bring the Omer. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not a Dorash Yesh Lo Matirin. Dorash Yesh Lo Matirin means the Torah gave you the ability to be matir something. Like, for example, you have what's called Pidyon and Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is your classic case of a Dorash Yesh Lo Matirin because I can be poda the Maaser Sheni, be matir. So the Pidyon itself is a Maaser Heter. You know, in a certain sense, we could talk about Avram and Achai is a Dovr Sheish Matir because you can be Matir through Shechit. Whenever you have a Matir on something, that's called a Dovr Sheish Matir. But here we're not going to be Matir the Chadosh. Chadosh was never awesome. I mean, again, if you quote me on that, I'll be in deep trouble. Right? But what do I mean to say that Chadosh was never awesome? Chadosh is only awesome because I'm undermining the kiyum of the Omer. So there's nothing inherently wrong with eating the Omer, except that the Mizbeach gets the first shot at eating Min HaChadosh. And if I don't give the Mizbeach that rights, then I'm undermining the mitzvah of the Mizbeach. So that's not a Dorash Yesh Lo Matir. And many poskim say that Chadosh is batel. And basically, if you want to eat anything in America, you have to assume one of two things. You assume there's no Issur Chadosh in America, or you assume that it's not a Dorash Yesh Lo Matir, because everything has a mixture of Chadosh in it for like 4 months out of the year. Oh, so maybe it's mitzvah shein omino, and therefore you need shishim, but whatever you need, and there is bittul. But if you don't apply bittul in chadash, you're in deep, deep trouble. So all the heterim for eating certain products is only if we determine that most of what's in the ingredients is yashan. And the rest is bottle. But again, it's a dover sheish l'matirin. How could it be bottle? The Ramo wants to be matir, chadash, and chutzos based on spek sveka. He says that every case of chadash in America, well, he was in America, but in Poland, is a spek sveka. Because he says it could be that it was from this year's crop. I'm sorry. It could be that it's from last year's crop, which would make it yashan. And even if it's from this year's crop, it could be that the Hashrasha took place before Tetzayim B'Nisan. Very strange Ramah, because Hashrasha is not a new category. I mean, we're just trying to define whether it's Chadash or not. Anyway.
So what's the issue with Cheerios?
So Cheerios, I'm saying, is Cheerios is Chadash for a number of months during the year, because it's made of wheat. And in America, it's probably spring wheat. So it was planted last May or April, whatever the month is, but possibly after the cutoff date of Chadash. And that's it. So I always tell the story. I don't know if you call him a friend. I mean, I know him, but Rabbi Siegel, he's a rabbi in a place called Newton, Massachusetts. So I was a scholar residence in his shul. And I opened up, I got up early that Shabbos morning, I opened up one of his closets, and I see boxes and boxes of Cheerios. And I said, oh, it took me about 3 seconds to figure it out. This was Cheerios that he had bought last year that he was storing up so he would avoid the problem of Chadash.
Wow.
His wife is Soloveitchik, so if you know Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, was very makpid on Chadash.
Isn't the case though spring wheat is more used for baked goods?
Yeah, what does it have? What's that thing that it has with a D? What's it called? Durum or something? There's a word for it.
Durum.
Durum. Yeah, it has a certain advantage in making things rise and so forth and so on. So that's why spring wheat is quite popular in America. You know, there's a bikush, you know, for... All right, now we get to Shrotzim. I mean, this is not my favorite topic, but if you're ever in the East, you know... my wife and I were in Thailand. I mean, she was very curious. I stayed away. I didn't want to look at it. I mean, what they make and it's all in front of you, right there on the streets. They don't seem to know about making things in the house. Everything's outside the house. The Rachmana Amar, the Torah says, Sheketsu lo ye ochel. Ah, so who does that introduce here into the picture? Not only Rabbi Avoh, but also Chizkiyo, because it says lo ye ochel. And yet, Usnan, despite that all, it says in the Mishnah in the 7th Perek of Shviyas, Tzayode Chayovi Ofos V'Dogim. So these are fishermen and the like, or bird capturers, and they put out their nets, and they want to capture kosher animals. But Nizdamnu Lahem, what happened is, at the time of the capturing, Ninim Tmeim, all of a sudden some Shrotzim came into the net, or lawn kosher fish came into the net, birds. So what do you do with them? Now, on the one hand, you can't shech them and eat them, and if you're talking about shrotzim, there's no way you could eat them, but yet the Mishnah says in Shviyas, mutarim lemocham lenachrin, you're allowed to sell it to the guy. So what you do is you do a borer kind of thing, and you set up two categories. You take the minim ksherim and you eat them, or sell them to Jews, and you take the minim asurim and you sell them to the goyim. Aye, the Torah says lo yeochel, which means according to Chizkiya, it's asur banor, and according to Rabbi Avoh, for sure it's asur banor, because even if it hadn't said lo yeochel, it would be asur banor. Shiny hosam. Again, applying the same rule of thumb as we saw over and over again, the Omar Kra, the Torah says in Parsha Shmini, it says Sheketz Heim Lachem. And what does the word Lachem indicate? Lachem is Shalachem Yehei. So I wanted to tell you that whenever it's Mutabat No, it's an Isa Gavr, not an Isa Cheftza. But you have to add another condition. It's got to be Nisa Lizman. I mean, Sheretz is also the whole year round. There'll never be a Mat here. In the case of Chadash, perhaps the reason it's Mutabat No is because it's only also until the next until the next Het Zayin B'Nisan. But in the case of Sheketz, you can't apply that rule. So you're going to have to say that Sheketz is an exception to the rule. And the Torah said, despite that the fact that this is repulsive in halakhic terms, I don't mean physically repulsive, but halakhically it's objectionable. But yet the Torah says you're allowed to sell it to a guy. It's mutar b'ano. Now keep in mind, does the Mishnah allow you to go out and trap these animals in order to sell them? No, it says nizdamnu lahem. In other words, your profession is to capture kosher animals. But in the net, you got some tuna fish. Again, tuna fish, by the way, you know that there are, I think there's 14 different species of tuna fish, or maybe 12 species of tuna fish. Anyway, the large number of different species of tuna fish, of which four are kosher. So when the OU gives, for example, a heksher on tuna fish, they have to somehow tell you, it's not just the OU, I mean, you have Dugim and all these companies, they have to guarantee that the tuna that you're eating comes from those four species of kosher fish. Now, when the nets go out, you know, the large, you know, they come, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of fish come into the nets, you know, the fishermen are not going to catch one tuna at a time, so then you have to know that there's no mixture there of non... Then if you don't know for sure, you're going to have to apply Biddle and Rove and Chew. It becomes a whole rabbinic convention. You know what I mean? So, Shiny Hosam, the Yom Kol Lachem, Sheketzem Lachem, Shalachem Yehei, Hochi Afilu Chatchila Nami. If the Torah permitted you to have Hana from non kosher species of creatures, so why not set up your nets and make a business out of it, make a livelihood out of selling to the goyim the non-kosher species? Shiny hosam diomikra yihu. Right, the Torah says sheketz yihu lachem. Now the word yihu, according to Chazal, means leave it as is. That's yihu, let it be. Bavayosan yihu, meaning let it be as is. And there are two ways of interpreting that, let it be as is. You mean let it be asur, meaning don't make a business out of it, a livelihood. Or let it be means leave it in nature, you know, don't capture it for the sake of selling it. But in any event, we have now a special pasuk that's telling you that you're not allowed to make a business, a livelihood, out of deliberately capturing non-kosher species in order to sell them to the non-Jews on the market. But if on the... So the whole Easter is because yiyu, bavayosan yiyu, meaning don't go actively out there to trap the non-kosher. But if it happens to appear and get mixed up in your net, that's okay. Now you're in possession of a sheretz, and you can take that sheretz and you can sell it to a goy. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question. Ulechizkia, according to Chizkia, who says, Lo Yeachel teaches me an Isur Hana, Lama Lila Mechta Vaya, the Torah have to confuse me. And say, Lo Yeachel, Umaisi Lachem, and then the Torah goes ahead and says, Sheketz Heim Lachem, to teach you that's Mutar Bano, Lo Lichtov Rachmano Lo Yeachel, Velo Boy Lachem. You know, you wouldn't need the extra word lachem unless you had the lo yochel. So instead of lo yochel, why didn't the Torah just say lo yochel? It's the same number of letters. What does that mean? The Torah has to give me one case to teach me a rule. That's called a binyan av. What is a binyan av? Here in this case of Shrutzim, we have an excellent example of a binyan av. The Torah is saying that you know why Shrutzim is mutar b'ano? How do I teach you the method of deriving an isur hana? By adding the word lachem. Meaning, in the absence of the word lachem, it would have been asur b'ano. The Torah could only say that in a case where it says lo yochel. Because according to Chizkiah, when the Torah says lo yochel or lo sochlu, it means isur achila, not an isur hana. What is the basis in the Torah to determine this principle, which are now going to apply to chametz, that whenever it says lo yeachel, it means an isur hana? And that's a very pressing problem according to Chizkiah, because Chizkiah says any other lashon achila includes just achila, not hana. So we need one case of in which the Torah clearly is indicating that the lashon lo yeachel indicates not just achila but also hana, and that's going to be the case of sheketz hilachem. this is going to be the binyan av to tell me that whenever it says lo yeyachel, it means an iser hano, until the Torah goes ahead and is matir the iser hano with the word lachem. Hence, let's take the case of chametz, where in the case of chametz the Torah says lo yeyachel, but without the lachem, from sheretz I'm going to derive the conclusion that chametz is also hano. Why? Because there the Torah says lo yeyachel without the word lachem. So that's going to be the sugya mishnah for tomorrow. I'll just read to you the next line of the Gemara, so you'll see where we're going with this. The Gemara says, "Varei chametz, the Rachmana Amar v'lo yeyachel chametz, and therefore, hence, chametz is also bana." And that's great according to Chizkiya, and that's what we're going to derive from Sheretz, because in the case of Sheretz, the Torah told me it's only mutav ano because of the extra word lachem, implying that if there was no extra word lachem and it only said yelo yeyachel, that would include even an iser hano. Hence we have the rule of Chizkiya, which is going to generate the halacha of chametz, that chametz is also bano. What we're going to try to study tomorrow is the Shita Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this is one of these like Ripley's believe it or not in halachic terms, that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, chametz in fact is mutar b'hano. And that's because it says lecha in chametz. It says lo yeh lecha chametz. That means it's shalcha. I mean, the problem that I, to this day, I don't know an answer. I'm hoping between now and tomorrow maybe Hashem will send me an answer. How could Rabbi Yossi Aglili say that chametz is mutar b'hano when the Torah says tashbisu? The Torah says destroy your chametz. Now, if you're telling me it's mutar b'hano, it means I can sell it to a guy. Then you can't turn around and tell me destroy it. This I can't figure out. Okay then, Rabbi Yossi, we'll stop here. I wish everyone a great day. And thank you so much. Shavuot tov.
But why do you say we rely on Bittul for Chodesh?
No, I'm just saying that to rely on Bittul for Chodesh, you're going to have to claim that Chodesh is not a Dover Sheish Lamatirin. Hashdus, it's a classic case of Dover Sheish Lamatirin. No? I mean, if you leave it for another X number.
Where do we rely on Bittul?
So how can we rely on Bittul? That was my question. All the posts can rely on Bittul.
Only
in Min B'Sheino Mino? Not in Min B'Mino? So you're going to assume that Chodesh is a Dover Sheish Lamatirin. Do you have Rabbi Herman's booklet? He has all the... Can you get in his introduction? He talks about whether it's a Dover Sheish Lamatirin. I haven't seen it in about 20 years, but...
The only person I... Moshe Soloveitch wanted to say it's not a Dover Sheish Lamatirin because if you don't sell comments, then Hashdus should be getting rid of it. It's never mind. All the stuff in your house...
So, but let me ask this, Joseph. Do you have access to Rabbi Herman? Just get printed out online. Just it's like, I think in his introduction, he has a whole discussion about Dover Sheish Lamatirin. Yeah, is that good? Yes, that good?
Okay.
10 o'clock is good?
Yeah.
Okay.